Hey guys, welcome to the third episode of On Your Left. I recorded this interview I did with Nate at the beginning of October. We're still playing around with sound quality and best practices for recording, so hang tight while we figure that out over the next couple episodes. But I think you'll really enjoy some of the insight we get on Nate's marathon. All right?
Shut up and sit down.
What up, guys? Nader here on Your Left podcast with, of course, co-host BJ. How are you, BJ?
I'm phenomenal. How are you doing?
Another day in paradise. I've had a week of rest since my previous endeavor, so getting back to reality.
Let's tell the audience what your previous endeavor was. So 1 week ago, what's today? Monday? So
Monday. A week from
yesterday. 8 days ago. What were you doing?
I was running.
I was actually racing state championships, track state championships down in San Diego.
Yeah, and you're doing the exact opposite of what I was doing.
I was going short, but sweet. We got a good state championship medal out of that.
You were going
long and sour. Yeah,
long
and painful. So how long did you run for?
Very sour. I decided to do a marathon.
Okay, sweet.
26.2 miles, 40-something K. I don't know exactly in K. But it's not short.
Handful of hours.
Yes, a handful. Four, to be exact. Like, exactly 4 hours.
You got 4.0 hours.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So 4 hours, 37 seconds to run a marathon. And I mean, obviously, it would have been great to see a 3 next to that instead of a 4.00.
Yeah, if you had sped up for 45 seconds.
Yeah, I'll be posting video that Ayla just gave me yesterday of basically like when I met up with Ayla and Lucy in the middle of the run, you know, stopped, gave some hugs, gave some kisses, all 100%. That kind of stuff. So I feel 100% positive if I really wanted to go under 4 hours, if I knew what the heck I was doing, I would have been able to.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of brings us to like what was the impetus? What was the point of this marathon for you? Was it a personal goal? Was it to break up kind of the end of summer? What was your goal?
I think the question you're asking is, what the hell was I thinking?
Pretty much.
Yeah, more spot on.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, pretty much. So before I was a track cyclist, I ran track and field. Division one collegiate level as a decathlete. So like, I know how to run and I've done it, but
yeah,
even then I was a sprinter. So I never ran more than like 3 miles,
5K tops.
And so, yeah. And since I've, retired a little over a year and a half ago from racing professionally, my body has changed significantly. I've lost about 25 pounds of just muscle that I definitely needed as a sprinter, but I don't need any more as your average person. And so it's been nice to lose that weight just kind of naturally by not lifting. And when that weight has fallen off, because my wife runs a lot. And so I figured if I do a little running here and there, it's just a good opportunity for us to spend some time together and enjoy an activity. And it works with Lucy too, my daughter. I can push her around. So
Family outing.
So basically I knew how to run. And so I've been running. I run like maybe 4 times a month, like once a week between 3 and 5 miles, depending on what I'm feeling.
So not exactly marathon training.
No, not at all, like zero training. And so the week before, I just wanted to go out with Lucy and like kind of see what I could do. And so we did 8.6 miles on the beach path. And pushing Lucy, and I was like at a 9:30 pace, and I'm like, that felt decent, like it wasn't easy and whatever else. And I'm like, you know what, if I had to go out and run a marathon tomorrow, could I do it, like with no training, no like real preparation, whatever else? And so I called my buddy Scott, who's run several marathons and put marathons on as a race promoter, and I told him my idea, and he's like, dude, that's absolutely bonkers. But I think
but let's do it.
Yeah, but I think he can do it. And so with his knowledge of kind of me and what it takes to run a marathon, yeah, we basically just kind of set up the plan. So Scott rode his bike next to me the whole time. He had like a really cool little pack connected to the seat post that hung off the back with all my like nutrition goodies.
Oh, and nice.
A water bottle I could grab myself and put back in. So I knew without the training, nutrition was going to be the most vital piece of this wacko endeavor.
I was going to ask you about that because you've done other long events. You did Race Across America, the bike ram with your brother. Longer race, but a similar kind of a pushing yourself to the limits, endurance, nutrition, really fueling. Did you take any of your experience from RAM and apply it to this, or was it a whole nother ball game for you?
It was a whole different thing. So RAM was very interesting, and we can do another podcast about this
some other time.
But I was on an 8-man team, and what they do is they split the 8-man team into two teams of four. Your team of four does 8 hours on, 8 or 10 hours on, and then 8 or 10 hours off. And when your team is on, those four riders rotate every 15 to 20 minutes. So you're not riding more than 15 to 20 minutes at a time. And
that's
so I only rode over the 6 days, like 550 miles. So it was more an endurance event of riding in the middle of the night and then waking up and your sleep being off and that. So not necessarily like endurance pushing my body to that limit. I mean, it was hard riding when you get crap sleep and whatnot. But so just a very different endurance thing. And so I would say as far as nutrition goes, I probably took the most knowledge out of my track and field background, because being a decathlete can be, it really is an endurance event. You're doing 10 events within 2 days. And those 2 days are anywhere from, if you have a really fast day in a decathlon, it's like 9 to 10 hours. A longer day is around 12 to 13, depending on weather delays or other events and things like that. And so understanding how to compete over a long period of time to hydrate, keep nutrition coming in, and do all that, I think I took the most away actually from my track and field career.
Did you do it based on feel? You know, there's the old adage, drink before you're thirsty, eat before you're hungry, because if you wait till then, it's too late. Or did you have it measured out? You knew how many carbs per hour you were going to need? What was your plan?
No, it wasn't. It was kind of, so like 4 days out, once I figured I was going to do this, I went and got myself some of the, let me see. They're right here. I still have a couple left in the bottle. The sport legs, like hydration pills. So I got the sport legs pills and I started taking like three pills 4 to 6 times a day for 4 days leading up. So kind of like loading my body and making sure it was good. And then I already eat a lot, but I just ate a little bit extra. I made some smoothies on the side with carbs and protein in them, just to make sure I was like fully
topped
fueled
up
and topped off.
Yeah.
And then day of, it was, I mean, having, so this, first off, this was not a race. I didn't put a number on. I didn't sign up. It was literally just me and my buddy Scott and a few others who joined me on open roads.
But let's be serious. So, we're pretty competitive. Even if it's not a race, we're racing ourselves.
Yeah. But it wasn't like a
not organized.
Organized race. So it gave a very different feel. So I was able to have my buddy riding right next to me with all
of
the
course.
Nutrition and stuff. So day of, I kind of knew like, okay, every 30 minutes or so, I want to take three of these sport legs pills. So just keep those coming in. And then I had 5 gels, 2 of them non-caffeine, 3 of them caffeine. And from my cycling background, I knew on the long rides, like save the caffeine for when you know you need it. Because once you take caffeine, you got to keep it coming in. You got to keep that high, so to speak.
There's nothing worse than dropping off a caffeine high mid race.
anything. Yeah. And so I didn't have any, so I did it in 4 hours. I was like very consistent. If you check out my Strava, you can see all my mile splits, and they were pretty solid between 8:30 and 9:40, give or take. I mean, obviously pace fluctuates, which put probably me on helps. A 9 minute.
It probably helps to have a buddy on a bike right next to you as well.
Yeah, he was just going at my pace, though.
Okay, you were pacing it.
So it wasn't really, like, pushing me. Yeah, I was kind of doing my thing. I went out with the idea of, like, what can I do all morning? And so that ended up being a 9 minute and 11 second pace to be right on 4 hours. And, yeah, so basically nutrition. Going out, I was taking the Sport Legs pills. I was drinking water. I went to Costco and got these really cool little, they're for kids, like fruit squeeze pouches.
Oh,
basically
it's like
applesauce.
Yes.
With flavoring in it.
It's basically like baby food, but in a pouch, and it's the best thing ever.
It's a squeeze pouch. And the coolest thing about that is I brought some like fig bars along, 'cause I didn't know if I'd want solid food, because when I've done long rides on the bike, it's like solid food's the best, but running's totally different. So the squeeze pouches were great because you could squeeze, they're 90 calories each, which is great, but you could squeeze half that pouch in your mouth and you don't have to chew anything, and you can kind of just let it sit there, and it adds a bunch of moisture to your mouth, and you can kind of just swallow that mouthful over the next minute or two without feeling like you have to chew and like get it down and drink water while you're doing it. So I had, I think, five of those through the run. So 90
those are great.
Times five, 450 calories there. And then the gels were 100 calories each. So that's another 500 calories. So I took in about 1,000-ish calories throughout the thing.
Which is not that much for 4 hours.
No, but you're never going to take in as many calories as you're looking to burn.
No, of course not.
So, but the kicker was, I mean, the nutrition was great and all that, but I took way, way, way more than the suggested amount of ibuprofen throughout this run.
Oh, during.
during. So I started my run before I even, like 5 minutes before I started, I took four.
So okay,
800
so
milligrams.
We're already off to the races.
Already, right before. And basically my buddy Scott, he's like, yeah, when I do those, I'd take three or four. And that would just help the first half and prolong any whatever. And maybe I'd have one or two the rest of the race. So I took four in the beginning, and then I ended up taking 14 total.
Oh, Jesus.
So a lot of ibuprofen. And I think that really just helped keep all the nagging issues or whatever away. I don't recommend that for the people that don't know their body. And I made sure, like, if I was taking ibuprofen, I took some of the Sport Legs, and then I had a pouch of the squeeze as well. So I was kind of getting some substance in with the ibuprofen to not completely ruin my stomach. So yeah, basically, long story short, first half I took the two no caffeine gels. I was taking the Sport Legs and then some ibuprofen. And then once we turned around, it was kind of game on. I had my first caffeine gel and then more Sport Legs, more of the squeezes, and just kept going. And I really, a lot of people say, like, it's the mile 18 mark that kicks you. And I got to mile 18 and I'm like, I feel pretty good. Like, I'm tired-ish, but I'm keeping my pace and cruising. And one of the best things that happened was, randomly, I had no idea, my buddy Bet came out. Bet's done over a dozen Ironmans, full Ironmans. And so he met me at a point and he's like, hey, what's up, Nate? I have to do 18 mile like mellow today. I thought I'd just run with you. And I'm like,
total surprise.
Nice. So it's total surprise. Had no idea
Bet
was coming out. So he was a lifesaver just to like have someone next to me, and he could keep a pace, and he knew like what a 9 minute pace was, and he wasn't pushing me at all.
Just break it up mentally, give you something else to focus on.
Yeah. But going into the last quarter, like the last 6 miles, he was vital to have running with me. And then my buddy Natan came out with 7 miles to go and ran with us as well. And so I felt good at mile 18. At mile 20, I'm like, all right, I'm doing pretty good, but I can feel like, give me a little more caffeine. Give me a little more
ibuprofen.
So 6 miles to go, took my last caffeine gel, another squeeze, some more sports legs, some more ibuprofen. And I knew I was going to be at that point. I knew like, okay, I'm right on maybe going sub 4 hours. So like, let's pump up the jams if I can. And I ended up looking, when I look back at my Strava, I negative split the second half, and my last couple miles were some of my fastest ones. But 4 miles to go, basically right when I got on the beach path in Long Beach, heading towards from like the kayak area to Yard House where I finished, was gnarly. I just went to a different place, and that's so 4 miles to go, 22 miles is where I hit my wall. And it was tough, man, but having Scott on the bike and Bet running and Nate running next to me really helped. And then of course my wife Ayla and my baby Lucy met me with that like 3.5 mile to go marker.
Perfect.
And ran with us too. So that was cool. Just, I mean, that's the whole idea behind On Your Left, being there when people need support, whether it's just in life in general, or you're struggling in an event to finish hard and keep things together. Just having that emotional support system is absolutely vital. And so, yeah, just kept pushing, man. And the last 4 miles, I took 2 more caffeine pills, a couple more ibuprofen, and just gave everything I could, and then came in, yeah, at 4 hours and 37 seconds.
Yeah, so I saw the video.
Just shy of going sub 4.
I saw the video at the end, and it looked gnarly. Yeah.
Yeah. It was gnarly. So there's one time at mile like 18, we had to stop at a stoplight. Probably lost a couple seconds there. And my legs were so, because I didn't walk once, which I'm very proud of. But my legs were so wobbly, and it's like, all right, I just need to keep running again and just keep the momentum. Cause when you run, everything's kind of numb, and that's nice.
Sometimes just like keep moving is better than stopping. Cause once you stop, it all cramps up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, as soon as I sat down, man, I was just everything locked up, and I was toast, just rolling around for a few minutes. And then I had some other bike fit clients show up at the finish to like cheer me on. And I got up, I had a couple people have to help me up, and like, I could barely stand. It was pretty brutal, to say the least.
So I guess the big question is, how bad did you think it would be before you started? And how bad actually was it when you finished?
Yeah, so I went into this with wanting to finish, obviously, but finishing wasn't the goal. It was something I hoped I would be able to do, but really was like, what's my body capable of doing without training for this? Like, will it make it, or will I be cramping and screwed up at mile 18 or 22 and like have to be smart about longevity as a human and stop. And so I think the big goal was like, let's just see how far I can go. And then if I'm feeling good, like nothing's cramping or hurting or aggravating, thanks to the ibuprofen, just keep pushing and see what I could do. So really the big goal was just see if I could do it without my body giving out, without any training. And yeah, somehow it hung on.
Leading up to the marathon, I saw a lot of things on social media, some little plugs and teasers. What was your strategy for getting people invested in the marathon with you?
Yeah, so I mean, everything I do, like I really love my community on social media. So I mean, I have my Team Nader Instagram page, my Nader Here Facebook page as an athlete, and then my personal page, and then my Long Beach Bike Fit stuff for my business, and now the On Your Left page as well. And so anything I do, whether it was when I was racing professionally or doing my announcing stuff for 6 Day Cycling, I love just including people and getting their thoughts and really getting their support is huge. And so when I went live, 2 weeks ago now on a Monday, a couple of days before the run, I announced what I was doing and how I was doing it with no training, and everyone was supportive, but some people were like,
concerned.
Concerned madness. Like, that's probably not your best idea, Nate. and it's funny because all the people, my clients and stuff that have done Ironmans or done marathons, they're like, oh yeah, you'll be fine. No problem. Just like total confidence. And then realistic people, normal people were like, oh dude, you're going to be screwed. Like, that's going to be really hard. You're going to be sore forever after. And so it was just fun to put that up, see what people's responses were.
What was great was by doing little teasers earlier in the week, you really got people on board with the journey. So there were people watching the live stream. There were people commenting, cheering you on. So it really created a cool community for the event.
Yeah, definitely. And this whole thing was just to, like, without training, without knowing what I, because I knew if I trained for a marathon and I did all that, I could do it. And then it would become about, well, how fast can I do
it? Yeah.
And so I didn't want that to be the focus on time and speed and whatever else. I wanted it to be about the unknown and the struggle and whatever else.
But comes right back to the mission statement of On Your Left, you know, being there for people, supporting them, pushing through tough times, really just having a community of support. You know, we're going to link up your Strava. We're going to link up all those show notes, all those in the show notes, social media contacts, the Strava. Do we have footage of the live feeds? Can we redo? Are those saved?
They're on my Facebook. I'm sure we can grab them. Yeah. So with this has sparked a few other interests or ideas to, maybe do a few more things like this, where basically I kind of just go into it with my general training or no training
and just see what happens,
whether it's on the bike or, doing some sort of triathlon. I don't see myself doing an Ironman, everybody. Sorry. But yeah, just maybe like a stupid, crazy 100-mile mountain bike ride. Just with my general fitness, I ride a few days a week, but doing 100 miles on a mountain bike or whatever else is very different. So, we'll see what happens. So if anybody else has any other ideas of one day, little adventures I can go on that I don't have to train for, I'm all ears.
Yeah. And if anyone has any questions for Nate, you want to comment on his marathon, you want to ask him a question or give him an idea for some other crazy adventure to do, you can leave us a voice message. We'll have that link in the show notes.
Very cool.
Send a voice message in. You might make it onto the next show.
Yeah, there we go. Cool, BJ. Well, hey, man, I appreciate your questions and it's fun talking about this. And yeah, it's really cool to be able to share that experience with everybody.
You heard it here, guys.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in to On Your Left, and we'll talk with you soon. Later.
Talk to you later, bud. Thanks again for listening in, guys. We appreciate all the 5-star reviews and all the support. We had a couple voice messages come in, and the first one to make it on the show is from Ai, my Japanese teacher. She's a fan of the show.
BJ, radio, podcast, 聞きました. とても良いと思います。
That was nice. Remember, guys, leave us a message and you too can make it on the show. Arigato, ai sensei. Jane. Till next time, guys.